reach high, the dark clouds rise. They won't weary me, for I'm sheltered safe within the arms of God.
Walks with me, and none of earth.
Oh, aren't you glad about it tonight, church?
Second verse tonight.
Soon I shall hear a call from heaven's port.
Oh, it's the call we're waiting on.
Come home, my child. It's the last mile you must draw.
Oh, praise the Lord.
Then I'll be changed.
We'll be changed.
And go to God. New heaven.
Praise the Lord.
Still sheltered, safe.
Oh, still sheltered.
Within the arms of God.
I want you to see with all your heart.
So let the storms reach high.
Dark clouds rise. They won't weary me. For I'm sheltered, safe.
You know something I realize more every day that I get one day older, Brother Terry? That I ain't big enough to walk by myself. And I don't want to ever get big enough to walk by myself. I want to be held by His hands, don't you? Do you love Him with all your heart tonight? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love Him tonight. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Oh, He walks with me. Thank God for that. Let's look at our prayer request tonight, if you don't mind standing with me just for a minute. Sister Margaret Wilkinson's mother in England collapsed has a collapsed lung, other tests to be done. So we want to remember that prayer request tonight. Also, she sends in a prayer request for Brian. He's in the hospital with breathing problems. So let's remember that need tonight. And also another request sent in by her, a little 5-month-old baby who has lost his sight and has had some seizures. They're doing tests to try to find out what is wrong. His name is EJ. So they're asking that we would remember that need tonight as we pray on behalf of that child. Sister Judy Davis fell down some stairs, has a broken rib and a fracture. She is very sore and asked that for prayer for her recovery. So we certainly want to remember our sister in prayer tonight. Please pray for Betty Kaiser. That's Sister Jane Terrell's sister, who is very sick. We'll remember her tonight. Sister Lana, we'll remember her in prayer, has a sinus infection. So let's pray that the Lord would give her healing in her body. We want to pray for William Smith, also Angel Smith. Both have flu-like symptoms. Brother Palmer sends that in, so let's remember that need. 2 unspoken prayer requests. Sister Janet Barron asks that we would remember those as we pray tonight. Please remember Sister Jaretta Stockton in prayer, having a lot of back pain. So let's pray for her that all would be well in her body. This is was sent to the library. This is an execution order signed by the judiciary. We have received a report out of Iran that the Iranian courts have signed an execution order for Brother Youssef. At this point, this is the only details we know. So we just commit that all unto the Lord and ask God to have His perfect divine will. We know that God's still in control. We certainly do. An unspoken prayer request for Greg Cox. Brother Donnie Cox sends that in. Deanna Dixon sends this in. My aunt Marie McDaniels in Ohio needs prayer for breathing problems, also pain in her back and body. She is shut in and considers this her home church. Also remember her daughter who's recovering from foot surgery, so we want to remember that. Also, Sister Barbara Gould has placed a card of thanks out on the bulletin board and the passing of her mother-in-law. She just wants to thank all of you for your kindness, consideration, and your prayers during this time. So you can look at that after the service tonight or this weekend, the Lord willing. All the unspoken prayer requests, if you have something tonight you'd like for this assembly to pray about, if you would, remember the Mike Caudill family. Glenda's sisters, Sister Shirley that passed away just maybe about 4 years ago. Her husband passed away last night. Mike passed away. So let's remember that family as we pray tonight. All the needs in our local body, we just want to commit them all unto the Lord. I'm glad that we're serving a great big God that's concerned about every need that we have. Aren't you glad about that tonight? Do you love Him with all your heart? Does He mean the world to you? There's nothing in this old world I'd trade for Jesus. Is there you? He's the greatest thing that we've ever had in our life, and I love Him tonight. Brother David Swanson, come tonight, if you would. Lead us to the Lord in prayer. Let's invite His presence to be in this service tonight. I believe He's going to give us a wonderful time, don't you? Brother David, God bless you. Appreciate you.
Precious Lord Jesus, we're again thankful, Lord, to gather here this evening. Lord, we're so thankful that we have the opportunity to come and gather believers of like precious faith. We're so thankful for what You've done for each one of us, Lord. Each one of our lives, how You've touched us in a special way. Each one of us could have a testimony of all the things You've done for us. And we just are expecting great things again tonight, Lord. We just ask, Lord, that for these requests that have been made known, that You'd move on the scene for each one, Lord. There isn't anybody, there isn't anything, there isn't any devil, any demon that is greater than You, Lord. There is no situation that You can't take complete control over. We just commit it into Your hands, Lord. You know it's best for each situation. We just pray that You administer the faith that's required, Lord, to meet each need. And now for the furtherance of the service, Lord, we commit ourselves to You. We lay aside every thought, anything that would hinder us from receiving from You tonight, Lord. For we know that we've been taught that the word goes forth, but it must be made alive, must be quickened to us, Lord. So we just pray that You'd help us in that part of the service. Bless the minister, Lord, who ministers the word. Give him strength. Just have Your way with us now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother David. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to welcome you here. Glad to have you. Those that are streaming the service, may God richly bless those folks as well. An announcement tonight, if you're planning on going to the Louisiana camp and have not put your name on the bus list, please do this. by this coming Saturday, February the 25th. So remember that if you're planning on going and you need to get your name on the bus list by this coming Saturday. Something keeps holding me. Are you glad something's holding you tonight? Oh, something keeps holding me. Every day I see, helping me painfully overcome my trials.
Guiding me constantly.
Yes, He is.
Giving me victory.
Hallelujah. Oh, it's a reality. Something keeps holding me. Sing that chorus again. Something keeps holding me.
It's holding me.
Every day I see. Helping me painfully to overcome my
keeps holding me.
Hallelujah.
Yes, he does. 5-5 when the morning comes. 5-5 when the morning comes.
Amen. Let's sing just a little bit of this old song tonight. By and by, when the morning comes. There's things happen to you every day in your life and mine too. I don't have an answer for. I don't know why it happened. But I know one thing. If it's worth remembering on the other side, he'll tell me about it. If it ain't worth remembering, I don't need to know it nohow. Oh, by and by, Lord, when the morning comes, when all the saints of God are gathering home, we will tell the story, how we overcome, and we'll understand it better. John, come tonight, give us a song. Brother John wrote this song, and he's had several requests to sing it since the first time he sung it, which I guess was Saturday night a week ago, maybe something like that. But you can be seated. I know you're going to enjoy this. The Lord gave him this song, and I know you've just took a liking to it. Brother Tracy, sit down if you want to.
So glad everyone came today.
Yeah. spell over and over and over again. Sometimes I let go of your guiding hands, but even when I let go, oh, don't let go of me. You're the love of my life. There's no one else before you. You're the evening star, the brightest star in my heart. And even when I let go, seem far away, you are still here. You never left me alone. Even when my heart is breaking, still I will praise. 'Cause even when I stray, you're never far away.
Appreciate that song tonight. It's not been that long ago that Brother Tracy stood here and gave us a song, and it was really good. I think we need to hear that again sometime pretty soon, don't you? How many of you would like to hear Brother Tracy sing that again sometime? Not tonight, but in time. Let's all stand as Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord tonight. Are you glad to be in church? Are you glad you're a Christian? Give him one more big hand clap of praise tonight if you love him.
Sing this chorus as Brother Don comes.
Lord, I can't even walk without you holding my hand. The mountains too high and the valleys too wide. That's where I've learned to stand, and I can't even walk without you holding my hand. I thought number one would surely sand, but I can't even
Aren't you glad you still believe that?
Amen.
Amen. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, if you would, tonight. I'd like to speak to you on the subject again of I knew a man. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, I'd like to read verses 1 through verses 4. I'm just happy to be in the house of God.
Amen.
What a privilege it is for us to be gathered together under the revealed word of the hour. Amen. Just think, friends, if it wasn't for God's grace, you could be going to a First Baptist or a Second Pentecostal or a Third Nazarene or 15th Catholic or wherever and be just as sincere as you are right here tonight. Tears trickling out of your eyes and you thanking God and just smoked your cigarette before you walked in church. Or some of you women be sitting in a church somewhere with a pair of breeches on saying, oh, Jesus, I love you. I love you. God's grace to us. Amen. It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago. Whether in the body, I cannot tell. Whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one called up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man. Whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. So y'all would agree with me that this man that he knew and this man he is referring to was not a flesh man. And it was himself, but not himself. Right? It was the real him. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Father, we love you tonight, Lord. We're grateful once again for your word. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you so inspired your servant Paul to write these things down so many, many years ago. We're grateful, Lord Jesus, that he was able to finally come to an understanding to be able to write it. No doubt he battled with it for a long, long time, trying to understand, trying to comprehend what was going on. But finally, it was revealed to him. And once it was revealed, then you allowed him to write it in the scripture. And we want you to know we are so grateful that you did. Because there's not any other place in the entire canon of scripture to where a similar thing is actually written down. And we are grateful. It gives us an understanding of why things will linger. And why even sometimes good people must be plagued with certain things. Speak to us tonight from your word, Father, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Let's turn, if you would, to verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7. And let's read, to me, one of the overwhelming verses of this whole entire setting. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Let's read that again. Lest I should be exalted. Look at this word, exalted, and keep it in your heart. Exalt oneself to lift or raise up over something. Now watch what exaltation of this manner does. It raises oneself up above something. So this type of attitude will always raise itself up above something, or most of the time, someone. Now, Paul, if I understand this right, and you correct me if I'm wrong, in this stage of his journey, Paul had been born again, sealed by the Spirit of God. His germ had been quickened by the Holy Ghost. He had come to great revelations, great understandings of the things that God had done. He had wrote great mysteries up to this time, 55 A.D., something like that, by the time the letter of the 2 Corinthians was written, 55 to 60. So many, many years now he's walked with God. So he's a matured son, as we would call it, an adopted son, no doubt a placed, positionally held son. But yet here, something still remains that would seem somewhat of a puzzling thing. that if we would believe and teach that the new birth totally eradicates everything in spirit, soul, and body, and leaves you a complete brand new creature in spirit, soul, and body, then here is this man left with something that has the absolute capability of destroying and ruining his ministry. And yet, he's the greatest man on the earth at this time. By the time this scripture is written, you could take all the apostles and put them together. You could put all of their revelation together, all of their writings together, all of their understanding together, and put them all on one side of the scale, and put this man on the other end, and he would go, amen. They would not hold him a light. They would not be a drop in the bucket compared to the understanding that this man had. And yet he still has this demise about him. Pride. Oh, some of y'all probably praying, I was off of that, wasn't you? No, not yet, not yet. Now, watch this. He says, lest I should be exalted above measure. How so? Not through smoking, not through dancing, not through rock and roll music, but through the abundance of the revelations. Amen. How can that be? How can a man get exalted through revelations? Praise the Lord. Lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. Now look, the fear that now hangs over this man, now he's able to look back and recognize why God allowed this to happen to him, that he should be spiritually proud. That he would actually be exalted himself because God had given him so much. And he'd seen so much and been allowed to write so much and reveal so much. And because Paul's flesh was not converted, he had this potential of having such spiritual pride. Now I realize nobody here's got it, but I'm going to go ahead and preach this tonight because you never know who streams his services, you know. Now, you know, with this pride, it's as if though Paul could view himself as being one of heaven's favorites.
Think about it. Yeah.
Now you see, to view ourselves as being favored above the rest of God's favorites is a very detrimental thing. Now I know some of you don't care about your hair. You don't care whether you drive a Cadillac or a BMW or a Volkswagen. But some of you are eat up with this pride that you feel like you're one of God's favorites because God has made you more spiritual or given you more things than others. Oh Lord, here we go. I really appreciate y'all praying for me over the weekend because I'm feeling so much better. I'm feeling just real good tonight. I hope y'all can say the same with me when they're finished at the end of the service. And y'all are feeling well too. Now, watch this, friends. You're talking about a serious thing. You know, as I've looked at this and I've come to understand that this type of pride, the reason that Satan would be able to use this one avenue is it crosses every barrier. It crosses racial barriers. It crosses financial barriers, domestic barriers. The rich can have this pride. And the poor can have it just as bad. A man with a little church can have it just as bad, if not worse, than a man with a big church. A man who never gets called to preach conventions can be eat up with pride just as bad as the man who gets called for conventions. Because his pride will be, well, if they preach what I preached, they wouldn't be called to them big meetings.
Boy, if they preach it the way I, you don't never hear them calling me to them meetings, do you? Cause I preach it straight, brother. I'm one of the very few. Yeah, they won't never call. You understand what that is? That's pride. Well, glory. Now, if Paul was in danger of this spiritual pride, then I want to ask you and I tonight, what about us? Oh, you say, Brother Donnie, I got to admit, I was that way before I got saved. No. If you was ever that way, you're still that same stinking way. This ain't for Paul got saved. This is after this man's got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. Well, glory. Of this sin, he who lives closest to God is in the greatest of danger. Now, it seems bizarre, really, because you think the person who lives the closest to God and those that would be more spiritualists would say, that'd be the farthest away from this. But that's actually opposite of the way it is. And because this sin originated in the heart of him who was the closest to God. So that's why those who are the closest to God will be those that will be the greatest accessible. Can't you see why the bride of all people on the earth, the bride will be some of the ones who will have to guard this sin greater than all the rest. Because we have been highly favored before his presence. Do you believe what you want? You make fun of me, you do whatever you want to do. I believe with all of my heart. That's why God will let us hear of people in denominations that get healed, that get miracles, that get this and that and the other, and they do all these things, and sometimes we struggle to be able to make it happen. And we wonder, how come? He's teaching us a lesson. He's letting us realize we'll not get it by our pride. We'll get it by our faith. Our faith, not our pride that God owes us something. He owes us nothing. Oh my. Now, think of this. Of this sin, let me say it again. Of this sin, those who live the closest to God can be those in the greatest danger. Now, spiritual pride is such a dangerous thing that those who are delivered from it, it is such a great victory that if God has to, he will make their flesh suffer, and they may suffer for years in order to deliver them of that evil. And God will look at that consequence and say, it is well worth the suffering to get them delivered of that terrible thing. Let's look, if you would, at Isaiah chapter 14. I know we've looked at this many times over the years, but I think it'd do us good to refresh it. Pride was Satan's sin whereby he fell. Watch Isaiah now as he catches this setting. Isaiah 14:12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? Now watch the beginning of sin. For thou hast said in thine heart. Now right here is where it starts. Now he never said, oh, I'd give $1,000 for a chew of tobacco. Oh, what I'd give for a Pall Mall. Oh man, if I could only have a beer. Oh, I want to commit adultery bad. I can't stand it. That's not the original sin. It's pride. For thou hast said in, now watch where it begins. In thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Now notice where he is when he says this. He's in heaven. He's in heaven. Why is he wanting to go to heaven if he's already in heaven? He's wanting to ascend above what God made him to be. You imagine he's already given the greatest position in heaven next to God. There was no one greater but God himself. But this, notice where it begins now, it begins in his heart. He said in his heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. Now it shows here that pride and haughtiness then, it did not begin in hell. It did not begin on the earth. The earth was not even in existence at this time. I'm not even sure hell had even begun at this time. But this was while it was in the heaven, in the eternity. So he began in his heart. So here is the origination of the original sin, of the original beginning of pride. And this is why God hates it, whether it's in the devil or whether it's in you. Now, can't you see why God hates this type of attitude? Because this began in heaven and it come from Satan, not from God. People who say they don't need to go to church. People who say they don't need to pray. They don't need a preacher. They don't. You understand what they're doing? They're exalting themselves above the ministry that God placed on the earth. And they're under the same delusion of the devil that he got under in the beginning. And they think they're so spiritual and they think they're so great. But yet they don't realize they're doing the exact same thing the devil did. When you children exalt yourself above the headship of your parents and you say, there ain't nobody telling me what to do. Do you know what you're doing? You're falling under the same dominion of Satan himself. Oh my. Look in Proverbs chapter 16 verse 18. Pride goeth before destruction. And a haughty spirit before a fall. May we say it this way. Pride went before his destruction. And a haughty spirit before his fall. Now the very same thing follows with the fall of Adam. That Adam then had to exalt his own thinking above the position of God in order to fall. He would have never fallen. And so do you and I. We can never go over the top and do wrong until we push our own. Well, I think, I believe this is what I want to do. And we'll exalt that over the word. And then that's when we fall and when we make a mistake. Right. Now, notice this in verse 19. He says, but better it is it of a, to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. Now, this is the definition of the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the north, believe it or not. Now, look again in Isaiah 14:12, how that Isaiah catches this spirit. Him and Ezekiel are the only two prophets of the Old Testament that are able to catch the very heart of Satan. Now, Moses writes various things about him. David writes things about him. But yet God allowed these two prophets to be able to catch the very soul of Satan and the very origination of sin and how that he was able to bring this thing down upon the earth. Oh, he must have won all two pieces when the Spirit of God allowed these prophets to write this about him. Because it had been kept secret since the foundation of the world. Now, God knew it, but it's like God hadn't said anything. Anything about it. But when it come time for Isaiah to come on the earth, the same prophet that would prophesy about the bride, about the millennium, about the Messiah, the same prophet prophesied about the devil and his very heart's desire. And the same prophet Ezekiel that was going to write about the millennium kingdom was the same one that God allowed him to go inside of there and catch the forerunner of the man of sin that come up in 2 Thessalonians, how that it was the devil in the king of Tyrus, as it will be the devil and the beast in the last day to become the false prophet. It was a forerunner of what Satan wanted to do. Now you imagine all these years his heart's purpose had laid there and God hadn't told on him, but now God tells him and lays him wide open. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer? Look at his name here in the Hebrew. Halel. Halel. Which is light bearer. Shining one. Morning star. Where were you, Job? Where were you when all this took place and the morning stars sang together? Stars, plural. But here's one that's singular. Now watch him. He's Lucifer, son of the morning. How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. Now look at this word, ascend. It's Allah. Allah. And it means to go up, to ascend, to climb up, go over. Extend of boundary. Now watch, it is to go beyond. He's telling God, I don't want just what you give me. I want more. I can do more. I'm bigger. I'm greater. You're holding me back. Oh my. Be superior. Be superior. To lift oneself. Now watch. This is what was in his heart. Now this is pride. This is not only in the devil. It's in Tim Mullins. It's in Terry Horn. Dave Swanson. Y'all want me to embarrass you too? It's in every stinking one of you. Donnie Reagan. It was in William Branham. It was in Paul. After conversion, Jim Babbitt's in you. It's in you in a different way than it is in me, but it's in all of us. This is the one thing that Satan was able by crossing the sea back under to where everyone born through a woman would have this. And some would be so proud because they had money. Others would be so proud that they were poor. That they would be so proud that some of the rich in the church would offer them $100 to help them. But their stinking pride is just as damnable as the rich. And their pride won't even let them receive that $100 because they got so much devilish pride. Well, I'm going to preach whether you folks preach with me or without me. It's entirely up to you. Friend, don't you see why we all have to be delivered of this? My. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne. Where did he get a throne? Now look at this word, exalt, to rise, raise up, be high, be lofty. What's this? Raise and rear children. Wow. So here's his heart. Here's his heart. I want children. I want to be like the Most High. I want to exalt my throne. My throne above the stars of God. Look at this word, stars. Of Messiah brothers. Oh my Lord, you mean the devil knew that the Messiah was going to have brothers. Glory to God. Can't you see his very desire before you was ever into existence? His desire was against you. Before you ever even had a choice, before you was ever on the earth, he said, I want to exalt my throne above them Messiah brothers. Did God let him look there and see there was a book of life that had the Lamb's bride in it? How did he know? I don't know how he knew. But he knew. Them stars is not glistening balls of gas. It was you. Oh my. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the Messiah's brothers. Numerous progeny. Personification. Isn't it amazing that he caught part of the mystery of God? That the stars of God, when God hung them out there, it was only a reflection of the dust that was going to be on the earth. Sons and daughters of God, personifying God's deity. So he said, if this is your plan, I'll let you know right now. I'll exalt myself before your plan, before you ever bring it into view. I'll be bigger than you. I'll be bigger than your church. I'll be bigger than your sons. So the next time you feel yourself being all lifted up and all blowed up like a little baby rooster, remember little baby, where that comes from. And I trust you find it detestable. I hope these little simple services on this will change and transform our lives. Now watch his compound threat against God. I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also, listen now, upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. There's not even a church yet. There is no congregation. Now there is a north, but there was no congregation. There's great constellations that Father put in the north. There's great things that you only see in the northern sky. There's actually great deposits of the wind and various things that Father did that is peculiar to the north alone. And Satan saw there was a particular something about the north that God favored.
Right.
Now watch this. The temple was on the north part of Mount Zion. The altar and the altar gate was on the north side of the temple. There were tables on which the sacrifices were slain on the north side of the altar, which where the animal was actually killed. Leviticus 1, verse 10. If his offering be a flock, namely of sheep, of goats, a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring a male without blemish. He shall kill it on the side of the altar northward before the Lord. And the priest Aaron's son shall sprinkle his blood round about the altar. But remember, Satan says this before there was ever a temple. He says this before there was ever an offering.
Amen.
He says this way back yonder because somehow he saw in God's creation. Was it the northern lights? Was it the constellations? What was it that he saw? But he knew there was something that God favored in the north. Now watch, David catches this understanding as well in Psalms 48:2. He says, beautiful for situation, the joy of the whole earth. Is Mount Zion. Remember, Brother Man tells us, daughter of Zion, Mount Zion in the Old Testament. The spiritual antitype, of course, is also the bride. And he says, the joy of the whole earth, the Mount Zion, on the sides of the north. Now you remember Jerusalem was from the Jebusites, which had been conquered by the servants of David. They come in and David moves there and actually makes it his capital city. But there was what was called the city of David, which was annexed later on into Jerusalem on the steep side of the northern side. And they began to build a wall there, a retaining wall as it was. And they extended it on out and made it go on out, on out, on out. Actually today, it is the location of the Dome of the Rock.
Amen.
On the north of the Temple Mount. But here is another parallel. Glory. It's not just in holding your compass to the north side and saying, well, something about the north wind, the north pole, the Borealis, this, that, the other. It's not just that. But there is a spiritual symbol that God had hidden a mystery of his word. And Satan even declares it about the bride, the church, on the sides of the north. Which is the flank, the middle part of the body. The city of the great king. Notice in Psalm 75:6, promotion cometh not from the east, nor the west, nor the south. Why did David leave out north out of that verse? Now this word promotion, even though it's a different English word, it's the exact same Hebrew word as exalt. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. So promotion comes from the north. Have you ever studied, just a casual study, many of the major cities of the earth, how that for many, many of them, the north side will always be the most prosperous side? Look at North Rome and Johnson City and South Rome. Now what Satan, how did he set his goal? And it was not even tangible yet. It was not even material. It was not like that the city was built. It's not like that the bride was on the earth already. God had to allow him to peer into it just far enough to pull him into the plan so he could play his part. Now, if he plays dumb all these years down through ceaseless ages, and then at the end time he wakes up and realizes, no, he's got to see it way back under. He's got to be allowed to look into it. God made him his right-hand man for more reason than one. So promotion then comes from the north. Now, notice again Isaiah 14:14. He says, I will ascend. And it's the same word, Allah. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Notice he does not say Adonai. Notice he does not say Jehovah Elohim or any of that. But he says the Most High. Now remember, this name was a particular name which was spoken by Melchizedek under the revelation in the days of Abraham whenever he said, blessed be Abram and blessed be the Most High. This was a compound name which was given to Abraham, which is El Elyon. El Elyon. And yet here Satan utters this blessed name before Melchizedek ever appears on the earth. So he saw something in that name that he said, this greatness, this superiority, I will lift myself above Elyon, the mighty one. Well, glory. But I really like this verse 15. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. I pretty well figure the north matches Satan pretty good. He kind of reminds me of the north wind. He huffs and he puffs and he threatens. But don't forget now the scripture that applies to him. Whenever he goes to tell you, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, you remind him of what your father said about him. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. Now he wanted the sides or the flank or the fertile positions of the north. The sides he wanted. But he'll get the sides of the pit. Very deserving for one such lifted up in such pride, don't you think? Now watch, isn't it amazing now that Almighty God tells him this to his face? You are defeated, Satan. And Satan didn't say, Emma? I might as well just go down to hell and give up there. I'm quitting being the devil. God said he's going to throw me in hell. You mean I can't win? Well, shoot. Man, this is a great plan. I'm going to quit. It never even slowed him down. Why is it then that we've got all the positive things said about us? And it seems like any little thing discourages us. You've got all these things said about you. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Lo, I'm with you always. Whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it. Whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe, you shall receive it. And you shall have a delight thyself also in the Lord. And he'll give you the desires of your heart. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask what you will. All these promises are given to you. And you act like you're the biggest loser in the world. Now what if you come to church and I got up and called your name? And I said, you are the sorriest piece of scum I ever seen in my life. Keith Johnson, you big red-headed outfit, you. You're the sorriest piece of, I'm telling you what. Yet God called that devil by name, told his faults, told everything about him. It never even slowed him down. He kept going wide open. Preachers have preached on him for thousands of years. We've sung songs against him. We've shouted on him. We've done everything in the world, and he's still going. How in the world does he get so encouraged? Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. And they that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee. Narrowly look upon thee. Won't have to have a widescreen scope to look at him. But we'll narrowly look upon thee, saying, is this? Oh, he wanted to be El Elyon. But we will look at him and say, is this the man? Hallelujah. That made the earth to tremble. That did shake kingdoms. Ezekiel 28:12. Question answered in 1959 when Brother Branham was asked about this question, the king of Tyrus. He says this scripture was written many years before the king of Tyrus was ever born. He said Ezekiel was not speaking to the king, but he was speaking to Satan in that king. Now watch this. As Ezekiel prophesies and says, son of man, take up a lamentation upon the king of Tyrus. Now remember, this is the forerunner of the coming of the last days of the son of perdition. When Satan will step into another king or a ruler, and from within that ruler, he will rule the world. Now watch this. Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the son, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. Now watch, Ezekiel describes him in this verse before his fall. This is his original created position. He was the model of perfection. Oh my goodness. Full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You see, friend, God did not create him to be the devil. He was not created sinful or ungodly. He was created perfect and beautiful. As a matter of fact, he was God's crowning achievement of the angelic creation. Watch how Ezekiel describes him. Thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the son. Now the Hebrew word here is literally, thou art the one sealing the son of perfection. You are the seal of perfection. You are the seal of beauty. You are the seal of perfection. It's overwhelming, isn't it? A thing is sealed when it's completed. So the angelic creation, it was sealed with the creation of this being. He says, you are the seal. You are my crowning achievement of angelic creation. Verse 13, thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering. The sardis, the topaz, the diamond, the beryl, the onyx, the jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, the carbuncle, gold, and the workmanship of thy tablets and of thy pipes have prepared in thee the day that thou wast created. Satan was given an exalted place, and then somehow he was allowed to move into Eden. He was in Eden. Eden became God's exalted place on the earth. And for a season or a time, apparently before man was brought into the world, Satan was allowed to walk in this paradise. Now notice, we just mentioned 9 of the 12 stones which were wore upon the breastplate of the priest in their ephod. Now the stones was the identification by name. Of course, representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Whenever they would come, it was the Urim Thummim. Whenever they would bring a prophet or a dream of a dream before the Lord, and he would stand before the Urim Thummim, the light share, the stones rather. And whenever the man would tell the dream, or if he'd give a prophecy, and if it was the Lord, supernatural lights would come down and illuminate across those stones, and they would bring out a supernatural color. So here this was a sign of the high priest's office. So the stones given to Lucifer was an exaltation of his position. So here he's in the garden of God. He himself matches or correlates. This is God's crowning beauty on the earth. And he is God's crowning achievement in angelic creation. What a being. Whew. Oh, Lord Jesus. Now watch this. Thou art the anointed cherub that covers. And I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou wast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Now, little friend, remember what I said earlier? Those who live closest to God are in the greatest threat of this type of pride. There was not another being in all of heaven that could make the claims this being good. I'm the closest one to him. I'm the greatest of his creation. I'm the height of all the angels. And where did this begin? In his heart. May God help us. How many preachers have we known that have done well for so many, many years, and all of a sudden they enter into a phase in the ministry? Some it's not when they're younger. Some it's when they reach their 50s or their 60s or their 70s. And it's not they come to a spot to where they think, oh my, our church is superior and our ministry and our. Don't you understand why I striked out here at Happy Valley? Don't you see that if the devil cannot get a man himself to do it, that he'll put people around him that'll start feeding him that stuff? And the sheep will start talking it among themselves and they'll start believing it. And then Satan will get around that man and he'll start listening to them. Don't you never get that around us. Do you understand? You'll let that devil destroy our church. You'll destroy our position of what God's made us to be. We're no greater than nobody else. Don't get your eyes on me or no other man. We want to get our eyes on Jesus. What preacher in this message? What gospel songwriter? What musician? What song leader? What musician? What person anywhere can make the claims of this being? As a matter of fact, Brother Mem tells us in question answer 1959, he was God's right-hand man to fellowship. If God wanted to talk to anybody, he talked to him. And where did it all begin with, Jerry? Pride. Pride. He couldn't be happy with what God made him. You know, I always marvel whenever you look at a church and you look at a body. God puts people in that body that are gifted for various things. There'll be some that'll be gifted in a certain way. And they'll have to be nudged, you know, to kind of go ahead and get their position and be nudged and pushed into it. There's others that will be gifted and their fault will be they're constantly wanting always to do more than really what they're ready to do. Always. They'll sing 57 times a month if you'll let them. They'll preach 47 times a month. They're just chomping the bits always to do something. Lord have mercy, you folks of God. But then what's amazing is then God sets a leader over that church called a pastor. And if the pastor don't feel to use that man or that woman all 382 times that they think they should be used, all of a sudden he becomes a devil. Now you realize when you watch it, God sets that man there because he's watching. He's looking. And God puts a gift in a person's life. And God will excel that gift as the character of that person is ready and able to excel with it. But if we're not careful, we will take gifted people and we'll push them way out there faster than what their character has grown. And we are helping to destroy them. Preachers in this message have destroyed other preachers because they went under that underdog mentality. And they want to push them here and get doors open there and doors open there and doors open there for them. And they push them out here and push them out there and push them out somewhere else. You better be careful. You better let God open the doors as that man is able to handle them. It's amazing that people will feel led to do this certain thing. And yet I pray and pray and pray and I think, Nope. Something ain't right about it.
That's right.
Something ain't right. So I'm the bad guy. And I tell them, no, brother, I don't feel if you do this. I'm sorry. Right. Well, of course, they come back to church and they sat there and pound on me. Uh-huh. Right. Oh, yeah. They sat there and pound on me, won't look at me, dodge me, won't wave their hand at me and all that sort of thing, like a stinking baby. And they are stinking. They need their diaper changed. Now then, you mean to tell me that your great gift or your great whatever you're supposed to do, and it's superior to the man that God's put in that position to watch over your soul? Do you understand what you're working under? What is it then that would make those people mad? Well, I ain't going. I'm going somewhere else. To the north, maybe? Don't you see why God views splits from churches unless it is a justifiable reason? Do you understand how God views it? God understands a split in a church without a justifiable reason, that man cannot be corrected by the word. He just won't stay in word. We got to leave. Do you understand how God views that? The same way he views the same split in heaven. But let's face it and be honest. A lot of splits are because people don't get their way. They don't get to do what they want to do. And if they don't get to do it, they'll go and start them another church. Which is exactly what the devil done in heaven. Every other split that come by the same way, come by the same foundation. The foundation of hell. Do I say they can't get folks saved and sing and shout and preach and whatever more? I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that how can God, could God bless the split in heaven? So any of you preachers in this church who want to start a split, go ahead and start one. I'll buy you a PA and rent you a building, whatever you want to do. Go ahead. All that you can take, take! Because I ain't helping them know how. Because if they know who their pastor is, you may preach circles around me, sing circles around me, shout around me and everything else. But if they got a revelation of who their pastor is, I ain't leaving. And if they ain't, they need to be somewhere else anyhow. Glory! Now this, friend, what I'm telling you tonight, this! How did this wind up in Paul? Do you see why Paul had to have the thorn? This part of the devil was still left in Paul's flesh. That when I would do good, evil is present with me, scenario. Right there. Oh my. It's amazing how pride like this can weave its way through. A lot of churches, as I said earlier, that are small, and it doesn't, we don't degrade them by saying a small church, but a lot of them can be so proud. They can have so much pride because they say, our pastor don't have to preach against the sin that Brother Donnie has to preach against in Johnson City. We're more holy down here in the backwoods or wherever we are. You know, we're over here in Ethiopia or wherever. And boy, we're just something. You are. Just like the rest of us, you dirtbag. Just got a different color bag, that's all, my friend. Do you understand how a little church can get so proud? So proud. Just us and our little parents in the Lord. Oh boy. We're all in here, man. All 30 of us, and glory to God. Well, a few that'll be there to find it. Isn't it amazing that all the small churches know the small scriptures and the small quotes? The big churches look for all the big scriptures and the big quotes. What is the matter with us? We're humans. And we're anointed of the devil in this old flesh. Now if you're not careful, folks that are very emotional, and you know I'm emotional, I don't deny that, I don't try to hide that. Folks that's very emotional, they'll try to act like they're more spiritual. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And if we're not careful, we'll clap our hands in pride. We'll dance in pride. Because we know Sister So-and-so is a little dry-eyed Baptist, so we'll kind of scoot over and bump them a little bit every now and then. Glory. So we're dancing for Jesus in pride. And some of you Baptists that are more dry, and you say, oh God, I hope you don't, oh Lord, here he goes. Oh no. Dear Jesus, be still and know that I am God. Friends, do you understand what I'm telling you? This crosses every barrier. No matter how you're natured. Your pride. He's got a snag for every one of us. Some of you won't wear no clothes unless it comes from Belk's. Or it has to come from the mall. Or it has to come from some specialty shop. And some of you, others of you, have just as much pride because you go to Goodwill and buy them Belk clothes that she took over there 3 days ago. And you come out and say, ha, ha, look what I found. She paid $75 for this and I got it for $7.50. And you are so proud that she wasted that $62. Friends, I hope you're hearing what I'm saying. A good guitar player can be so proud that he knows so many notes and, oh, so many things. And another guitar player that is so limited can be so proud that he ain't running all over the neck. He's done found what he's looking for. You see how horrible this is. People that listen to tapes can be eat up with it because they think they need no preacher. People that sit under preacher can be eat up with it and they won't listen to no tapes. No matter who you are, how much you make, what you're worth. Every one of us, don't you see? This goes across the board of all humanity. This covers every one of us. In the Maasai warriors in Africa. The Maasai is a tribe that roams the Serengeti in Kenya and Tanzania. I've been there and seen them, Brother Terry. Some of you other brothers have seen them. They know hardly nothing about our English ways. But they still have so much pride. So they take cow manure and mix it together with red dye and work it in their hair because they think it's beautiful. Huh? And then they pride themselves on the warrior who can jump the highest. They know nothing about our ways. Yet here they are back out in the bush. And they know nothing about all that. And they were born contaminated. Amen. Just like all the rest of us. So whether you're high-tempered or low-tempered or no-tempered. Whether you're high-passioned, low-passioned or no-passioned. Whether you've got great esteem, low esteem or no esteem. Whether you got great objectives, great goals, or whether you have none. This one thing, because this is the origination. This is the birthing of it in a being's heart. Well, how is this man, Paul, left with the remnants, the trace of this original sin? And it's so much in him that it could destroy his ministry. If God didn't deal with it. Glory to God. Thou art the anointed cherub that covereth, and I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created till iniquity was found. Not created, but found in thee. Verse 17. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted. Notice, now God is here giving us the very cause of sin. Not a creation. It all began in this one being. Him looking at himself. I don't need no preacher. I don't need God above me. What do I need to go to church for? Why do I need to listen to my mom and my daddy? I'm 15 years old. I know it all. Used to be said 18, but they're learning a lot quicker now. Matter of fact, Eliana, she just told me one day this week, and she ain't but five, she told me she knew it all. I thought, Lord, have mercy. Well, they are learning early, ain't they? I said, little girl, you're going to find out you don't hardly know nothing. And I thought, how sad. Where did that child get that? Same place I got it. From Satan's heart. I don't mind telling you, friends. This makes me so sad. This makes me so sad. I could sit down right now in this pulpit and weep my eyes out. Why do I have to bear this? Why do I have to still be tainted with the evil from his heart? And I bear it, Brother Dan, in my stinking flesh. Let me find a place to close. Thine heart was lifted up because of thy beauty. Thou hast corrupted thy wisdom by reason of thy brightness. I will cast thee to the ground. I will lay thee before kings. Wonder who that might be. Kings, that they may behold thee. And you mean Paul's new birth, Paul's gift, Paul's revelations, Paul's all that wouldn't keep that at bay. The new birth, as powerful as it was, yet it wouldn't keep that potential to get exalted at bay. So God had to gouge him. We look sometimes at folks that are born handicapped or folks that receive handicap later in life, and maybe physical handicaps or mental handicaps, or, you know, maybe they can't learn as great as somebody else, or maybe financially they're handicapped and they're never able to achieve like other people can. And we look and, God, why don't you bless me? God, I wonder, friend, the bigger picture. I wonder. He's watching out for every one of you. What if he knew to make you a businessman instead of you struggling to make a living for your family? You started bringing in $150,000 a year, $200,000, $300,000, whatever. And he saw that it would turn your heart away from him. Then I ask you, would you trade that for your struggling? Would you rather make your $300,000 a year and come to church when you think you need to? Or come to church every time them doors is open and struggle? You have to save up to take your family out for a steak supper. But what if God allowed that thorn to gouge you? Because he loved you. What if he allowed and you look at your physical needs and other needs and you say, oh God, this thing hinders me. It's holding me back from serving you. Is it? Or is it not given to help you serve better? Oh my. I've wanted for a long time. I'll never get it. I know it's a stupid, foolish desire. I've wanted for a long time to be a perfect human and preach at least one-hour sermon. You don't understand what that is, do you? How would you like to sit and study 10,000 quotes on one subject and then do an offshoot of that and then study 4,500 more and then an offshoot of that and study 3,800 more and then get up and preach it and get up and say things that's just as cross-eyed as it can be? Get your eye tooth, your tongue wrapped around your eye tooth, and you can't see what you're saying. And you say, and Carol said, you said, I said, you are kidding me. Oh Lord, I said that? But he's left it that way. It is believed that Paul had sympathetic ophthalmia, which is a rare bilateral granulomatous inflammation of the uveal tract that follows trauma to the eye. It is a disfiguring disease that the person's eyes begin to change looks, and their eyes become puffy and swelled, and they turn out sometimes. It disfigures the person. Some go blind, some go nearly blind. And this man was stuck with this. This man that he knew went to heaven, and this man that didn't get to go had to suffer with this. I knew a man. But now I know why I know that man. Because now I know that there was another man that wanted to know it all, and because that man wanted to know it all is why I have to know this man separate from the way I should know him. You understand? This man that I've talked to you about tonight. But what a victory it is. The potential of it lays in every one of us. Every day of our life to exalt ourselves in pride and arrogance. And the Spirit of God within us wants to correct us. Yet the potential is there. You can be proud of you can do this and proud that you can do that. But isn't it amazing the Spirit of God, when you come just across that little line, or if you say three words across that line, that He catches and says, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have said that way. Friend, I'll tell you something. You want conquerors? That may look as something so simple to you. Do you understand how close you are to the change when you're getting to that spot? To where three words can slip out of your mouth in the indwelling presence of the King catches it like that and corrects it. Do you understand how close you are to the body change? Oh my. Oh my. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Don't you appreciate God's grace to you? Remember Brother Branham walking into the restaurant in Ohio? The Amish place, Dunker place was closed where he'd been eating. He walks in there and the pinball machine or gambling slot machine, whatever it was going. The older woman there with the makeup on. He walks in and God, how long will you let this world go? My kid's got to be raised in this world. God, why don't you wipe the thing off? The Spirit of God said, come over here. I want to tell you something. He sees that earth spinning around. The blood of Jesus. Remember the bumper there and the sins coming up and hitting Jesus like a bumper. Lord, is that the sins of the world? Is that the sins of the world? No. That's yours. Pride. Oh, I know you want to say something. You're scared to death to say Brother Branham's a man, but I'm going to say it. He was a man. He had to fight pride just like me and you. I'm going to give you another one. Jesus had to fight it. He wasn't born with it, but He allowed Himself to be submitted to it. Jesus was tempted by pride to be a show-off. That's right. And it was this woman's time to come back to God. But God couldn't help her because His prophet had an attitude. But God has wonderful attitude adjustment tools. And it don't take Him very long. So He pulls the prophet over in the corner and goes to tweaking this one and tweaking that one and tweaking that one. Perfect attitude adjustment tools. The prophet walks out of the little adjustment corner and said, can I, oh, I have company. That's not what I mean. And he goes to talking to her And then she told him her story, which God already knew. Which Brother Bannerman had jumped to conclusion and judged the woman. He said a story didn't break anybody's heart. And right there he said, I broke up that whole thing and led that woman back to Christ. What if he'd have maintained that arrogant attitude and turned around and walked out the door? You see, friend, what pride can do. He was proud. He was Elijah. He was proud. He hated sin. He hated it. But pride can get in God's way. Every day of our life. Do you understand, Brother Duncan? What are you talking? What are you saying? Ultimately, the bottom line, what are you saying? That every day, God wants us to be so sensitive to the Spirit living in us that if we'd start to say, Lord, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have went that way, Lord. I'm sorry. Remember Brother Bam saying that there was three great people, three great men that come from Kentucky? Yeah. Wasn't me and him and Harry. But see, friends, even in jesting and all that sort of thing, if we're not careful, we can get over. What is it? It's the exalting of ourself above others. Maybe you're gifted in a way that you can talk and you by your gift embarrass others and make them feel humiliated and make them feel inferior. What is it? Pride. Pride. But a great man has the ability of making others feel great. Brother George Bertram, which came to our church down in Kentucky, and Brother Bam came to his place in 1965, prayed for his daughter. She was healed of cancer. Brother Bertram had a cheese plant down in Albany, Kentucky, and Brother Bam came there. Came to Brother Bertram's house, and he loved antiques, so he had antiques all through the house. Brother Bam wouldn't sit on them, on any of the antiques, so he sat on the floor, cross-legged like an Indian, and sat there on the floor. And he said, Brother Donnie, Brother George had wrinkled his nose in his glasses, he said, Brother Donnie, he had the ability of making you feel like you're something so great. You remember him saying that? And I thought, yeah, that's a great man. That's a great young girl. Not to go around looking, I'm the most spiritual young person in Happy Valley. Really? Who told you that? I don't remember telling you that. And since I'm the head, I should know quite a bit about what's going on here.
Come on now.
Don't listen to the devil. The way up, friends, the way up is down. Praise God. Brother Donnie, I got saved. I laid all my pride on the altar. Don't you believe that lie. Because that is a lie. If you walk out of here tonight believing that, do you understand this message will make you worse? If you honestly believe that, friends, you totally miss what I preached. Accept it. This is there in all of us. And we will never deal with it. If I could share emails with you sometimes that preachers write to me and the things that people have said to me, some of the preachers who've stood in this pulpit and talked to your pastor like I was a kindergarten student, like I was an idiot because they feel they are so superior to everybody else. And I don't care who it is and how long a man's been preaching, that is the spirit of the devil. It is not the spirit of God. I've been told it so many times I get sick and runs out of my nose. Brother Donnie, you just don't know nothing. Well, one difference is, I know I don't. I can admit it. Most of the people who tell you that can't. And then we wonder why we're no farther along. Oh, we don't have to preach against miniskirts at our church. We don't have to preach against this. You preach against pride lately. Oh, I couldn't do that. I've got it. That's why a lot of us can't say, I knew a man that walked in heavenly places. I know a man that week after week lives a victorious life. I know a man, I know a man, I know a man. Because our old pride keeps us from it. Let's bow our heads together if you would. Lord, in one way I so hate to preach these things. It just cuts us so bad and so deep. Cuts me right along with them. I thank you for showing this to me about me. I thank you for helping me to see, Lord, that it's still there in that old flesh. I just feel so sorry for the preachers and the people who think they're so exalted above everybody else. I feel so sorry for them. They feel so superior. Whether they're a little church or a big church, help us here, Lord. We look around over the last few years and we see been many changes in the message. Churches, preachers that have been exalted and lifted up in the eyes of many, by the thoughts of many. And we go to follow in that path. You will make sure that other people see their sins in that church like every other church. I know preachers, Lord, who when they preach certain sermons won't let it go out on the internet or on their tapes because they don't want nobody to know their sin in their church. So they doctor them up so people won't get the wrong idea of their church. I ain't going to do that. I want people to know their sin here like their sin everywhere else. And if they click, they're going to hear me click. They're going to know it, Lord. To me, it's not portraying the truth. I want to help these people, Jesus. And I can't help them by trying to hide things from them. I can't help them by hiding this evil that's still in their flesh. I just don't understand preachers that do. Help us, Lord Jesus. May we never get exalted in who we are and what we do and what you've let us see. Lord, we got some great musicians here, great singers, songwriters, a lot of different things. Don't never let them get stuck on themselves. Don't never let them begin to think they're so great and think they have transformed the music around the message and boy, they've had such an impact and this and that and the other, because when they do, their days of you using them are finished because you'll pull away. Well, they may still write songs. They still may preach, or a preacher may go out and still have meetings. But you'll not use him like you did before. Because the way you want to use any of us is a humble heart. Help me, Jesus. Help me. May I always stay small and little. May I never think, Lord God. May I never think highly of myself or of our work or of our church. May we think highly of you. Please help me, Lord. How many would like to be remembered in prayer tonight? Raise your hand to God. Now, whether you're poor or rich, emotional or non-emotional, whether you're deep or shallow, it makes no difference. This crosses every barrier. So, Brother Donnie, what should I do? Pray that the Lord will make you sensitive. That even when you're talking with your wife, your children, on the job, jesting with brothers, joking, whatever, that we become so sensitive that we don't cross that barrier. And if we do, we're quick to say, I'm sorry, brother, I shouldn't have said that. That was pride. As Brother Bam said about himself, certain man come around, boy, he said it didn't take him long. And he said he got all tied up and I could have took them scriptures and I could have. He said, wait a minute, that don't sound right. The Holy Spirit could have revealed something in such a way. Right there in pride when Brother Branham was preaching, that human part slipped out. Just like it does me and you, friends. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus, you saw the hands up uplifted. I pray it help every man, woman, boy, and girl. Make us sensitive, Lord. It puts us on edge. It makes us nervous. Because we want to be so careful that what we say and do is to the glory of God. Help us, I pray, Lord Jesus. Humble us, Lord. Grant it, dear God. In Jesus Christ's name. And the church said,
amen.
Let's sing together. He looked beyond my fault and saw my need. How many appreciate His grace, His word tonight? God bless you. So appreciate you praying for me over the weekend. I just felt so bad. Appreciate you praying for me. The Lord would give me strength and help me. I'm feeling a lot better tonight, and I thank you for it. Let's sing together before we go. I know kids have got school in the middle of the week and Wednesday night and all that. I try to be mindful of it, but I just hate to rush it when we're here in His presence, don't you? Let's sing together. Friend, He not only looked beyond your fault when you was out there, but He's still looking tonight. Thank God. Thank God for His grace. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary, to hear the cross where Jesus died for me. Lord Jesus, God bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. See you this weekend. Go in the fear of God. Hallelujah. I shall. Sing it as we go. I